And one of them was advantage, and the other one is profitable. I don't know about you, but I like the thought of an advantage. You know, if I can do something and get an advantage in it, I'm going to take part in that. And then the other aspect, profitable. I like things that are profitable. Amen. So to make sure that I get done today, I've got two passages of Scripture to turn to. And so we're going to go there. The first one we're going to go to is going to be found in Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And as you're getting there, I'm going to pray. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Heavenly Father, we just worship you and praise you. And Father, I just thank you that you want to continue. Yeah, and you're going to pour into us, and we're going to drink. We're not going to lose that. We're going to just let that keep happening. And I thank you that you've given me an ability to minister and speak. We sure know it wasn't because I was so good in school. It wasn't because my language is, oh, wow, perfect. Nope. It's because you have higher purposes and you have plans for our lives. And not everything we look at in the natural always confirms what you have called us to do. But Father, by your Spirit, we say yes. We say yes to what you've called us to do. And I thank you for the anointing and the ability to convey the truth that you've put in my heart. And I just thank you for a body of people who are ready to receive and ready to take in and grab a hold of and walk in greater profit, walk in greater advantage. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, Timothy. Which one did I say again? 1 Timothy. Did I say what chapter and verse? Chapter 4. Did I say what verse? Okay. All right. Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. And I guarantee you the two verses of Scripture that I have for today to go to that are the last verses on the series that I've been doing, they're not taught a lot. I just know that. They're just not taught a lot. But it's interesting what they say. It's very interesting what they say. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things. How many of you ever heard a lot of scriptures on this? A lot of preaching, a lot of sermons on this. Okay, you know how many people raise their hands? None. Yeah, I think it's interesting. And I think about all the messages I've heard on prosperity. I've heard a lot of messages on prosperity. How many of you have heard a lot of messages on prosperity? Yeah, lots of hands are going up. But never once was this verse of Scripture in those sermons I heard on prosperity. But yet this verse of Scripture says that godliness is profitable to what? All things. It's profitable to all things. I don't know about you, but for me, and I think I know about you, I think a lot of us, you in here would be in agreement with me, that, yeah, I want to profit, right? And so for me, if this verse of Scripture says this is profitable unto all things, I want to hear about it. I want to know about it. I want to have it involved in my life. And how many of you know this is talking a lot more about a lot more than just finances? It's talking about all things. Amen? Bodily exercise is profitable unto a few things. Now, don't use that verse of Scripture to stop exercising, okay? You know, bodily exercise, that's a good thing for us to do. And I am finding out personally, the older I get, the more beneficial it is. Because it's just amazing. Things, you know, I like Star Wars. I like all of that stuff. I like Klingons. And it just seems like stuff wants to cling on the older I get. It just, it's like, would you go away, please? And it's like, nope, it doesn't go away easier. So my son Vaughn here, he'll remind me, and I'm so thankful for it. You know, it's a lot of what I eat. And I don't know how many of you think like I do, but my daughter Breezy shared with me about 6-7 years ago I was going to the gym and I was working out every morning, you know, pretty much about five mornings a week, going there, lifting weights on the elliptical, all that stuff and everything. And Brianna said, well, you know, Dad, it's really 20% exercise and 80% what you eat. And my mind went, well, what the heck am I doing all this exercise for? I don't think that's what she was trying to convey, but that's where I went, you know, just forget this stuff. Well, I'm getting better, I think. Depends on who you ask. If you ask me, I'm getting better. So just ask me. Don't ask anybody sitting over here on this side of the church, okay? Bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of life that now is and that which is to come. Wow. I love the thought of that. Profitable in all things. But I want to back up and look at the word godliness a little bit. Because as I was preparing this, as I was studying this, as I was going over this, it's probably been 3 weeks now, I had a mindset. I had my thought of what godliness was. How many of you have ever had a thought in your head of what something was? So I was, okay, godliness. Okay, this is, but what ended up happening to me is my spirit was not satisfied with my mental understanding and my definition of what godliness was. There was like this war going on between the two. My spirit just didn't agree with my head. And you know what to do when your spirit isn't agreeing with your head? Go with your spirit. Amen. Go with the Holy Spirit. Let him talk to you. He was trying to lead me somewhere. He was trying to show me more. And all that was required of me was just a little bit of digging. Just a little bit of searching into, okay, what is godliness, God? What is godliness? Because, do me a favor, come up in your head, don't say it out loud, but just in your own head, come up with a definition that you think people might think, or maybe you think, godliness is. Okay? And I had my own definition of what godliness is. Now, maybe your definition will be something like what mine was, and maybe it won't be, I don't know. But my idea and my thinking in my head of godliness was not doing things that were wrong. If I would stop doing all these things that were wrong, then I would have godliness. That was what was in my head. But my spirit wasn't quite agreeing with that. You know, it didn't settle well with me. So I did a little digging and I did a little research and I did some reading. And here's some of the things that I found out about godliness. Godliness is not so much the absence of doing bad stuff. Godliness is more the application, the receiving, the taking in of the right stuff. Godliness, here's a definition, is Christ-likeness. See, a lot of people think if I quit doing all the wrong stuff, if I quit doing all the bad stuff, I'll have godliness. No. Godliness is actually Christ-likeness, doing the things that Christ did. Doing the things that Christ did. And this ties in with the message from last week, and I want you to think about it. This Sunday, a lot of you will know, all of you that were here last Sunday will probably remember this, but the first scripture in the Bible where the word command is used, it's found in Genesis. And the first command that God gave to him was, I command of all of the trees of the garden you may eat. It wasn't, the first command was not, I command you not to eat of this tree. The first command was to partake of all of this. How many of you know, the more time you spend partaking of who you are in Christ, the more time you spend partaking of we're blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. How many of you know the more time you spend partaking of, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ Jesus. The more time we spend partaking of that, the more time we spend eating that, just think about it this, we're going to have less time for that other stuff. And it's going to do something to our character. It's going to do something to our behavior. It's going to do something to the way we talk. It's going to cause us to do stuff that's weird and outside of this, the normal of this world. You might find yourself praying for a sick person in the middle of Walmart. Amen? Is that something Christ would do? That is something Christ would do. That's godliness. Godliness is far more the presence of God and doing what God would do than it is just the absence of doing bad stuff. You know, you can stop doing bad stuff and not be godly. But I don't know about you, and I don't know if this is speaking to any of you in here, but I know for me, I want godliness. Because godliness is profitable to all things. And I want stuff that's profitable. Amen? So, is that making sense to you? And I just want to do a few things. Go with me to Psalm. No. Yeah. Go to Psalms 119. Psalms 119, verse 9. Psalms 119, 9. And yes, I'm already skipping scriptures that I had in my notes. I can't believe that. Jeez. Psalms 119. We're going to look at two verses of scripture here. Psalms 119, verse 9 and verse 11. Psalms 119, verse 9 and verse 11. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to his word. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to his word. So how do we cleanse our way? How do we have a clean path that we walk down? By taking heed to his word. Where's the focus go? Does the focus go, don't do this and don't do this and don't do this? That's not where the focus goes. Where does the focus go? Take heed according to his word. Take heed according to his word. Take his word and give heed to it. Take his word and give application to it. Take his word, implement it in your life, and you'll find yourself doing that. And what will happen to your way? It'll be cleansed. It'll be clean. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to his word. And oh man, how cool to get stuff like this going when somebody's young. Man, I wish I would have known back when I was a kid some of the stuff that I learned after I was older. You know, how many of you know there's some people, they don't have a past like mine. You know, there's folks like Jan. Now, how many of you know Jan did have to be forgiven of sin? She did. Everybody say amen, I know that. But see, there wasn't as much that she was forgiven of that the enemy has to use against her. But you take guys like me, there's a lot that the enemy can try to throw at me. You remember when you did this? You remember when you did that? Well, I also remember Jesus. I also remember the blood of Jesus. I also remember I'm forgiven. Wow, and if I could have that when I was 8, 9, and 10 years old and had that path clean. But that's not the path I have. I have a different one. So in some ways, I can take and talk to people about a messed up path that got totally cleaned because of Jesus Christ and what he did. And this verse of scripture still applies to me today. You know, I am still a young man. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 11. Your word I have hidden in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee. Again, where is the focus? Is the focus on not sinning? Or is the focus on your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. How many of you would like to have godliness? Okay, it's more focusing on what you've been blessed with. It's more focusing on the working of the Holy Spirit. It's more focusing on the Word of God than it is don't. Don't sounds a lot like religion. Sounds a lot like man's rules and regulation. And as you know, I've never been a big fan of religion. Not man's religion. Because it just becomes a bunch of law. Don't. Amen? Hallelujah. All right, so it's quiet in here. Kind of knew it was going to get quiet in here. And it's going to get even quieter, maybe. Amen? Y'all ready for it to get quieter? Go with me, if you would, please, to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Hebrews 13, 17. Hebrews 13. Okay. Hebrews 13, verse 17. This verse of scripture has got lots of words in it that we don't like today. That are not necessarily real popular today. Here's, I don't know how your Bible reads, but this is what mine says for the first one. Obey. Obey. You know, obey. Turn to look at somebody and say, obey. Let's see, what's that verse of scripture? Obey your mother and your father, which is the first commandment with a promise. Obey your mother and your father, which is the first commandment with a promise. I'll never forget. Sorry if you've heard this, not everybody has, but I remember Breezy. She was just bound and determined. She was going to wear her new snowsuit. Bib overall snowsuit, really, really thick, super thick. And she had heard that it was kind of cold out, and you know, maybe a little bit of snow had fallen, and she was just bound and determined to wear her bibs and her snow boots. And I knew that it was going to get like 50 at noontime and that, but she was just bound and determined. And oh, Breezy, you're not going to want to. Yes, Dad, I want. So okay. Off to school she goes. And somewhere around 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I get a call from the school. And yeah, it's about 50, 55 degrees out. And I get to the school, and here's Breezy. Sitting outside. It's hot. She's extra hot. Kids are playing on the playground having fun. And she's got on her bib, you know, over coverall, ski pants type deal, and big old moon boot type deal. And she's just miserable. And she looked miserable. I got to tell you, she looked so miserable. She was so hot and uncomfortable. And I just took it as a teaching opportunity. I said, Breezy, what did I try to share with you earlier this morning? Well, Dad, that is going to get warm today and that I would like this. And I said, can I just ask you a question? Is it well with you right now? She looks at me and she goes, no, Dad, it is not well with me right now. Not at all. And I did. I brought her some different stuff to wear. I brought her a pair of tennis shoes and all of that stuff. But I took the opportunity to let her know. You know, that scripture there, children, obey your parents, which is the first commandment with a promise. Oh, just it'll be well with you. Do you know what? Obeying is not all bad. Amen? And then, you know, hallelujah. Okay, I'm about to get sidetracked and not going to do it. Obey those who have rule over you. Here's another word. And be submissive. Wow, that's not really politically correct today anymore, is it? Obey and be submissive. Can I ask you a question? Who can you think of that has flesh on, that has rule over you? Who can you think of that has flesh on, that is a human being that has rule over you? Can you think of anybody? Because you know, when I often ask this question,
Obey those who have rule over you. Obey. Who is it that has rule over you? You know what people almost always say to me? Any guesses? Nope, not law enforcement, Dick. The vast majority of the time, God, Jesus. Well, amen. And then I go, is there anybody else? Can you guys think of anybody else that might have rule, and another translation says lead over you? Can you think of anybody? Yes, Jackie. Your husband. Amen. Yes, amen. Amen. Can anybody think of anybody else? Your dad. Amen. Absolutely. Can anybody think of anybody else? The spiritual leader, the pastor, teachers. There was another hand right behind you. Yep. I can't remember your name, or I'd... Landlord or government, amen. You know, and I could use a perfect application here. Because, see, I've heard about people that speed, who drive fast. You guys know what that is, right? I've heard about these people who speed and who drive fast. And, you know, there's this thing, there's these little signs out there. They're white with black letters on them. You know, highway numbers. No. Speed limit signs. And you're supposed to do what that sign says you're supposed to do. But I've heard of people who don't obey. They don't obey that authority. They don't submit to it. Then they get pulled over. Oh, I'm going a little too fast. Let me read some more of this verse of Scripture. Obey those who have rule over you and be submissive. Why? For they watch out for your souls. What do these people do? What's your husband do? Jackie, what's your husband do?
He watches out for my soul. My verse, the next phrase says, for they are accountable to God.
Mm-hmm.
That's a heavy weight.
It is. It's a very heavy weight. Amen. So one day, Roland, you're going to be accountable to God. Every dad in here, or every husband in here. Yeah. Okay, obey those who have rule over you, being submissive to them, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. What do each and every one of us dads have to do? We have to give an account. Of what? Our children. And let them do so, this is the verse going on, and let them do so with joy. And not with grief, for that would be what? Unprofitable. For who? Unprofitable for who? Mm-mm. Unprofitable for the one who's supposed to obey. Unprofitable for the one who is supposed to submit. See, God has set authorities in this world over us. You know, I often think of pastor when I read this verse of Scripture. Gee, imagine that, huh? But how many of you know I got people in ministry in authority over me? Have some of you, I know you have heard me say, if you are struggling with me in something that I have done and you think it's wrong and you think it's unscriptural and you think I'm off track, call Tim Davidson. Call Doug Jones. These are people I obey. These are people that I submit to. These are people that have been placed in a position of authority over me, and I've been placed in a position of a submission under them. And then one day they're going to get to give an account of me. And you know what? I want them to give that account with joy. I want Doug Jones to be able to say, yeah, he was one of the ministers that graduated from Rhema, and he went out and he served faithfully. He gave to the people. He gave of his time. He was submissive to us. He did the things we asked him to do. He implemented those things, and God, we thank you for him. I want Doug to be able to do that. But what determines whether or not he gets to do that? Me. By what? By how I respect and honor him. Same thing for Tim Davidson. And I've shared this a few times, never with any great depth. But about 3.5, maybe 4 years ago, I was ready to quit. I was just ready to quit, pastor. Move on, go pastor somewhere else. I called up Tim Davidson. Took me 5 minutes. And you know I'm a bit emotional on occasion. Took me about 5 minutes to get through the tears, to get through the choked up voice, and to say, I'm done. Tim called Doug. 5 minutes after I hung up from Tim, Doug calls me. Now I've got two people that I obey, two people that I'm submitted to, and they're both telling me, don't. Don't quit. Now I have a choice. Either I obey them and I submit to what they say, or I don't. Well, I know one person who is really glad he obeyed. Me. I think there might be a few others, maybe, but I know one person who is glad. Because there was stuff that came along and hit me hard and tried to get me off the path. But then I had leadership who were telling me what I didn't want to hear. I wanted, you know, Doug, they got the whole list of RMAI people, and they know all these churches across the country that need a new pastor. And I was kind of hoping Doug would just say, oh, Joel, that's great. We're looking for a new pastor down in Arizona. That's not what he said. Amen? So is this verse getting a little more, obey those who have rule over you, be submissive to them as those who must give an account. One day I get to give an account of Diana. And guess what? I do so with joy. We'll have conversations, and some of you would be shocked at our conversations. You'd really be shocked. And some of you'd say, boy, you're mean. No, I am not mean. I am honest. And sometimes we'll have conversations, and she's processing, working through something, trying to get it figured out, da-da-da-da-da, and we'll just have a conversation. And in the midst of that conversation, I will say some things that she does not want to hear, but I say them motivated by love. And we had a conversation one time. She goes, I don't like it when you say that. I know that. And it's been amazing. She can testify. She doesn't like to stand up and talk in front of people. She loves to talk to little children that are preschoolers and stuff like that. But she could stand up and say, there's been a number of occasions when we've had conversations and 2 hours later, you know, and she would just say, thank you. Thank you for taking the time to talk. Thank you for taking the time to listen. Thank you for giving me a different perspective. Thank you for reminding me of what the Word says. Thank you for bringing the promises of God back to my heart and back to my mind. Thank you. I get to give an account. God, I thank you for the lady that I'm married to. It's so funny this morning. I shouldn't probably share this, should I? But I'm going to anyway. Waking up, we woke up early. We both went to bed. I went to bed about 7 o'clock last night, and she was in bed about an hour after I was or so. And we're waking up, and we're just both laying in bed and kind of just laying there. I decide it's time to roll over and give my wife a hug, and we've got a king-size bed. So I start to make this move and roll over, and I'm just about ready to wrap my arms around her, and she sits up and gets out of bed. I just started laughing hilariously. It just cracked me up. She wasn't aware of me coming to give her a hug, but I mean, how many, you know, just start your day out like that? Well, I went right to laughter. I just went to joy. Obey those who have rule over you, for they watch out for your soul. I can't give you names, but do you know sometimes as a pastor, I will give an account with grief? You'd be shocked at how many times I've had a word for somebody. And guess what they did with that word? And how many of you know, I got a word for you today. I've been taking about the last 35 minutes to share it. Amen. Sometimes we think a word is just something that the Holy Spirit gives to a person at that point in time. No, man. I'll tell you what. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable sharing God's word with people. But, man, I've watched lives be torn apart because you give somebody instruction, you give them something to do, and they choose not to do it. And then there's the ramifications that impact their life and other people's lives. And how many of you know, I am one of the most bossy, demanding, my way or the highway people you will ever meet. How many of you know that? What's that? Just now everybody's watching Vaughn's head. I'm going over here. Make Jackie look this way. If you want to know the truth, watch the children. Vaughn, how are you moving your head? I'm saying no. Vaughn has got how would I describe Vaughn's sense of humor? He can be very sarcastic, Jackie. You think he means one thing and he means a totally different thing. So that was what was going on there. Oh. Well, let's close. The whole reason I got onto that is, Roland, what do you want for Jackie? Amen. Amen. You want good for her. You want the will of the Father for her. And like you just said, when she stands before the Father, what she hears is, well done, good and faithful servant. Mark, what do you want for Sherry? I want good. Brian, what do you want for Lois? Al, what do you want for Sharon? All that God can give her. And that's your heart. Now, Sharon, do you always think by Al's reaction, I'm getting out here on thin ice, do you always think by the way Al is talking to you and stuff that he just always wants all that God can give you?
No.
Thank you. But yet, let me ask you another question. But do you believe him when he says that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. See, I want to get something out of that. Diana could be tempted to think, you don't want all that God has for me. If you did, you wouldn't be behaving like that. I always want all that God has for her. Always. Sherry, you know that Mark wants that for you, right? All that God, that's what he wants for you. Do you ever wonder, well, if that's what you want for me, why are you talking to me like that? Does that ever happen in your guys' relationship?
Satan might try to lie.
Satan might try to, but you identify it and deal with it as such. Amen. So did I hear you saying in America today that we've got a wife who just said publicly that she will submit to her husband by choice? Not because he demands it of you, but because you choose. And then you find out this incredible blessing. You find out this profit, this advantage, because you listened and you heeded the wisdom that came through your husband. Amen. How many of you catch what I'm talking about in this verse of Scripture? How many of you want? Let me just read the verse again. Obey those who have rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. And let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable to you. How many of us in here want the profit everywhere we can get it? Amen? You know, I can say my wife, Jan, she does the same thing you were talking about. And I think that's true for a lot of people in here. It's the same way. Amen? Profitable for all. Let's just go back to those people that speed, that drive fast. You know, they just drive fast. So there was this fellow, and he was speeding, and he got pulled over. And then, you know, it can unfold in a different way, but he got a ticket. Yeah, he got a ticket. And, you know, you have different options. You can just either agree to it and, you know, send the thing off in the mail, or you can go to court and face the judge. And in this one particular case, the guy went to court, and the police officer had to be there. What did the police officer have to do? Give an account. Now, you know what? The vast majority of police officers don't like having to write tickets and take money from people. They're not doing that with joy. They're not. There might be some here and there, but they're not doing that with joy. But he has to give an account. Do you think that's a joyful account? Or is there a bit of grief there and bummer there? Mm-hmm. There's a bit of grief there, and there's bummer there. And what happens to the person, you know, who's standing there, and the police officer's giving the count of him, and then the judge passes sentence, and the judge says, guilty. Now what does the fellow have to do? He's got to give up what? He's got to give away part of his profit. Amen. Hallelujah. So we looked at a number of scriptures. I'm going to just wrap this up here as fast as I can. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable. Jesus has sent us the Holy Spirit, and it would be to our advantage that Jesus go away, because if he didn't go away, the Holy Spirit wouldn't come. It's to our advantage. The gifts of the Spirit are given for the profit of all. Amen. All of these things that are ours to profit and give us advantage. Did you get anything out of this today? I'm trusting you did. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and stand up, and we're going to close with prayer. And babe, if the worship team's got a song, the way we're going to do it today, I'd just like to stay up here and pray with people. So as soon as we get done, hey, Mark and Sherry, will you do me a favor? Would you greet people as they go out the building today? Because I want to be up here and pray for people. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory.